It's time once again to step out, step up, and step into the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. Rick's expertise in the coming out process has helped hundreds of men and women ignite their inner desires to powerfully step out of the closet and into the light of living authentically as gays and lesbians. Freeing you from the feelings of guilt or shame, Rick offers take action tips for basking in the glow of self-love, easy to implement tools for wrapping yourself up in the warm embrace of self-acceptance, and take it to the bank advice on how to step courageously into a powerful, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Each week, the Coming Out Lounge brings you heartwarming coming out stories, insights for living authentically as a gay or lesbian, and challenges you to step out of the ordinary and into your extraordinary life. Pull up a chair, cuddle up with the truth of who you've always been, and let's spend an hour in the Coming Out Lounge discovering how to energetically step out, step up, and step into living your truth. Here's the host of your show, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters. It is time once again to stop that closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth. Now, why is it time to do that? Because pretending sucks and living your truth truly rocks. And today, we're going to really go into some truth talks today because my guest kind of woke up one day and what had happened was life with mom and dad suddenly became something born out of another wild and crazy made-for-TV reality show. In fact, one day dad was dad hanging with mom, sleeping in the same room together, and then poof, dad goes from heterosexual to homosexual faster than the Kardashians can make another news headline. So what do you do? How do you cope when this happens? What will your friends think? You, the child of a straight man turned gay, how do you handle this? Now, you may think based on that introduction that I'm going to bring one of my own daughters into the conversation today, but instead, I wanted to steer clear of that because we've kind of talked about that throughout the years of the Coming Out Lounge. But here's what I wanted to do was bring somebody else in who has grown up with that person who went from hetero to, quote, homo, and how they felt, what they went through. And I want it to be a little less self-serving than just pulling from my own family experience. So instead, I've cast my net pretty wide and found a fellow life coach. In fact, one of my fellow IPEC coaches. And she is someone who has a gay dad. She's actually beginning to do some beautiful work working with other adults who have come through those closet doors themselves. And she's going to help me really step in to unravel my dad's gay and what that roller coaster looks like for her. So today I want to welcome my friend Suzanne Fair to the conversation, and we're going to dive right in. So welcome to the podcast, Suzanne.
Thank you for having me, Rick.
Oh, I'm so excited you're here because we had such a great conversation a couple of weeks ago when we talked about doing the show, and I can't wait to really bring this in. Now, I have done a show, as you know, and as most of the listeners know, with another group of people from the Gay Dads Project, and it was a really successful show. And what I found from doing that show was the conversation just continues to need to be had because we may think with all the stuff going on in gay and lesbian rights and the movements and everything that's happening right now in our society that so many of these conversations are, they're becoming old hat. But I think the conversations of when you grow up with a parent and especially with shows like Transparent out there and, of course, just most recently Bruce Jenner coming out to say he's a trans woman, these conversations are never really going to grow old. So let's kind of go back to your story, and that's probably a really good place to start, Suzanne, is when did you first have this thing about dad being gay show up in your life?
You know, my recollections of it are when I was pretty young, kind of 4 or 5. I remember my parents arguing a lot and not really knowing what was going on. I have some vivid memories of running into their room and like trying to separate them. I think that was probably when I was about 5 years old. And then some big fights between them. And then all of a sudden, my dad moved out and had a roommate, or he would call him a friend, that he lived with. And he brought us into our church that we were in at the time and sat down with us and told us that he was gay. And that's kind of the first where he actually said it. I think after he moved out, I think my mom said it quite a few times to us in anger, but it wasn't really, we couldn't really kind of decipher whether that was the truth or whether that was just from her being angry or you know, what that really meant at that age. I didn't even really know what it meant to be gay or that kind of stuff. So,
right. So it sounds like in that moment, this was really kind of the battleground between mom and dad, but didn't sound like anybody was really reaching out to you kids to say, okay, here's what this really means. This is what it means to be gay. Were you getting any of that insight from anybody, or was it, this is just what it is?
No, I think it was more just this is what it is. And then I think that when my dad sat down with us, he explained it a little bit, but I just don't think I was of the age to really understand it. Mm-hmm. And then the conversation had been had, and I don't think we did a lot more digging into it until a few years later when he let us know that he was HIV positive. Mm-hmm. And so that actually changed quite a bit, because then I was not only in a situation where I knew my dad was different and had male friends instead of female friends, but also had this really heavy weight on my shoulders that he would probably die soon, because in the 80s, that was the early 80s. And sure. At that point, they didn't know anything about HIV. And so we were kind of in the dark, and it was a really scary time.
And I can only imagine, because I actually went through a similar situation with my dad's oldest brother, who was one of the very first ones diagnosed with HIV as well, that it was so scary, nobody really knew what was going on. And it kind of puts that question mark in your head of, okay, is this what being gay means? So did you ever have those thoughts yourself, that this is what gay means, is if you're gay, you're HIV positive?
Oh, yeah, totally. And, you know, at that point, when I was that young and didn't understand it, then I had my mom, who was a little bit bitter about all this going on, telling me, you know, if you get in an accident with your dad, do not help him. If you are at his house, don't like help him unload the dishwasher, because you might get caught. He might cut himself on a knife or so. I mean, it was like way blown out of proportion. Nobody knew what was going on. And I remember even in high school when we were doing sex ed, it's like I'm sitting there knowing that my dad is HIV positive and has been for, you know, 10, well, probably 8 years at that point,
right.
Eight, maybe even more than that. And listening to all the comments made from ignorant people who don't really know what's going on. So that was a really rough thing to go through. And yeah, I did start to associate being gay and being HIV positive as one. And then I saw a lot of my dad's friends, not a lot, but I saw a few of my dad's friends, you know, passing away. And then that made it even more real and more scary.
Yeah. So here you are, a kid being faced with all this stuff at a very young age. What was the thing that was most scary for you at that time?
You know, I didn't know how to love my dad at that point. Because I was a girl, so I didn't know if he really liked me.
Right.
I mean, I was a kid, so I was really confused. I didn't know if he loved me the same way that he loved his friends. I didn't know if he loved me the same way he loved my older brother. I felt like I was confused about how I fit into his life, and I think had a little bit of confusion around, you know, did he make a choice to have a family, or did he make a choice to kind of lie about who he was and had kids. And so the kids were the mistake. Mm-hmm. And so I had a lot of those questions, and I don't think I had an open enough relationship at that point when I was younger and in high school with my dad to really open up those questions. Today I do have a very wonderful relationship with my dad, and we talk about these things all the time. But at that point, that was probably the hardest thing, was just to know who I was in the whole equation and where I fit in with my dad, because being daddy's little girl, I wanted to really, you know, that's who I wanted to be, was his little girl. But I kind of felt a little bit out of that at sometimes, you know.
That's such a fascinating picture you just painted of, you know, being daddy's little girl and feeling like, because dad was gay, could I actually be daddy's little girl? And I loved when you said, you know, did he love me the way he loved his other friends? These are childhood thoughts that really set the blueprint for a lot of us to go through life and start carrying a lot of baggage around about how we feel about ourselves. So here you are, a grown adult woman, you know, done a lot of great stuff in your career, everything from working, you know, for Microsoft and doing some craft brewing sort of stuff. Do you ever feel like some of the stuff that happens and thoughts that you have stem from those years of being really confused about how dad felt about you? Or have you kind of unpacked those Samsonite bags and said, done?
You know, for a long time, I had those Samsonite bags really full for, and it really like dragged me down in relationships and especially creating intimacy, whether it be a friendship, somebody new in my life, or somebody that was coming into my life in a romantic way. It was always like, okay, when do I let them know this secret that I have? And do I just like bust out with it right at the beginning? Or do I kind of hold it close to me? And then once I hold it close to me, when's the point where I've gone too far and they're not going to think I'm being honest with them? Because inevitably it comes up, you know, why did your parents get divorced? Or what, you know, does your dad have a girlfriend or something like that? And it's, if you haven't set the stage for that question to come up, then when it does, you're like, oh, I don't know how to respond right now. What am I supposed to do?
Well, so, from a societal like standing at that point in time, I mean, we're talking the '80s, early '90s that you're going through some of this. We were still on the brink of just people having separated, divorced households. That was still kind of new territory in and of itself. So not only are you battling, okay, now I'm a kid of divorce. On top of that, I'm a kid of divorce with a gay father. Oh, and let's just put that icing on the cake. And my dad happens to be HIV positive, which nobody could really answer. So for you and your siblings as kids carrying all this, it's like, no wonder the Samsonite bags were really packed full of a whole lot of crap, because this was all new territory in so many ways. So as you went through that, what was the stuff that started to really become the shift for you and really wrapping your head around how you could be with your dad in the frame of mind you are today? What was the big shifts?
Well, I can say that one of the biggest shifts was, I worked at a drugstore when I was in college that was in the gay neighborhood in Seattle where I grew up. So on Capitol Hill, there was a Bartell Drugs on Broadway. And I worked there with a lot of gay males. My boss was gay. A gentleman I worked with really closely was gay. And I kind of got to know these guys and I was like, whoa, they're just normal people, just like me. They have the same problems, the same issues, the same concerns and all that kind of stuff. So I think that was the beginning of understanding and developing a better relationship with my dad. That was after high school and into my college years. And then it took quite a few years. I was in a marriage and I got divorced. I think that I spent a lot of time trying to please other people and tell them a story about me that wasn't really me. And then I felt in this like box that I couldn't really be myself in these relationships. So I had a failed marriage, got divorced about 10 years ago. And when I met my husband now, I decided I was going to, you know, I was just going to be balls to the wall, everything. You're going to know everything about me. And that's just what it's going to be. And so that's kind of what started it. And then when I went through my coach training, I actually really had some great moments where I realized, like, I am not my dad. I am not a victim to him being gay. Like, there's nothing about me that is connected that way. And if people are going to think that, then that's their issue, not mine. And it just, a lot of confidence came out of that, a lot of understanding about who I was. And then opened a lot of conversations with my dad too, about, you know, who he is and who I am and what he wants, from our relationship and what it looks like for him. And I think, you know, recently we've been having a lot of conversations about, what it's like to be an adult child of a gay man. I don't think, like you said, those conversations haven't been going on for very long. And I think my dad thought, phew, I got it off my chest. I told her I was gay. And then it was kind of it. It's like, okay, now come with me on my life. But really there's a lot more stuff going on deeper down about who I am and kind of coming out of my closet, like you said, with who I am and feeling comfortable with who my family is and being okay with liking parts of my dad's sexuality and things that he does and maybe not liking some of them. And that's all right.
But you know, it's interesting that you used almost a parallel comparison of, you know, I found myself hiding some of this truth of who I was, which is a parallel path to who we as gay and lesbians are. We hide the truth of who we are. Yet what people don't seem to piece together is, and there's another piece of it too, I'm going to bring up, that when we come out of the closet, we tend to send those most closest around us into the closet because they've got to go figure out, now how do they do this? They now start their own coming out journey. They're the ones who have to now figure out, okay, how do I want to be with this in my life, in my world, with my peeps, with my friends, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's always interesting when I hear those parallels. But then the thing that you also said was when you started to come to terms with it and come out, it was really powerful for you to say, okay, let's start having real conversations, which mm-hmm. at the end of the day, if we really had real conversations to start with, so much of what we go through in this world of coming out or just in the world in general would be so much easier to get through when we have the real heartfelt conversations.
It's just, yeah.
It's amazing stuff that happens. So one of the things that happened for me was when I was on the Ricky Lake show a few years ago as the coming out expert, was I interacted with a couple of people during the segment, and a couple of them were really almost rash and harsh about their parent coming out. Mm-hmm. And then when I posed the question, but without your parent having come out and gone into that marriage, you wouldn't be here. So I'm posing that to you. How does that feel to you? If your dad hadn't met your mom and hadn't had you, if he had just gone off and lived his life, you wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
You know, I think if you would have asked me that question about 20 years ago, I would have responded a lot different. I would have felt bad and like I maybe shouldn't have been here, but I am so happy with the life that I have and so happy with the journey that I've been on. And I feel like I'm right where I need to be. I am here and I support, you know, men and women who are coming out of the closet and the adult children that they raised. And I think that, I'm happy to be at that, place in my life where I can help others to deal with the same things that I dealt with. And I wouldn't change anything about my life. At this point, I'm really happy with who I am. I love my dad a lot. My mom and I have our own special relationship, and I have my relationship with my dad that is very special, and I am daddy's girl and always will be. and we, you know, we have a very special relationship. So it took a lot of time. I can mm-hmm. honestly say it took a lot of time to figure out how I fit into the picture. And, you know, I think with coming out, a lot of the time, the person that's actually gay or lesbian or coming out of the closet is the one that gets the attention in these matters. And I think that sometimes the kids get left behind, or that it's not as important for them to deal with it. But especially when you're going through puberty and you have questions about your sexuality. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I met guys, you know, where when I did get to the point where I opened up, they were like, oh, great. Can we have a threesome now? Because you must be a lesbian too, right? And I'm like, no, that's not what it is. And it's funny because you would laugh, but there's so many stereotypes and so many automatic thoughts that people have. And you just need to do exactly what the LGBT community is doing. And that's, you know, be proud of who you are and have pride in how you got where you are, and be open and free and let them see what a beautiful, you know, place it is to be yourself.
You know, until you had shared that piece, and I mean, it's crossed my mind several times about what it must be like for a child to go through this. But as you were talking about that, like comment around the threesome, it's like, it's just another nail in the coffin for how guys devalue women. Oh, okay. So your dad's gay. So, oh, cool. So now we can do this. This is all about how we can, you know, dehumanize women in their gender and their sexuality because, oh, now this contributes to it. So yeah, let's just use you this way now. That just, it's amazing to me that people can take those leaps, because it's so self-serving when somebody does something like that. It has nothing to do with what the other person's actually feeling or going through. I mean, it's a huge doorway you walk through as a child, and even as an adult, you know, woman at this point, you will never quit walking through that doorway, you know?
Yep. And you know, that's where a lot of those bricks in the Samsonite come from, is just one little comment. And all of a sudden you're like you kind of go back into yourself and you're like, oh, I don't want to say it again, because now I've got to deal with this too. And so it's just, it's the bricks. It's the, I always describe it as kind of like the bricks that I built up around my heart so that nobody could really come in close, because I didn't want to have those conversations or explain myself or, you know, not really understand who I was in that context, but be put into a place because of who my dad was.
So you kind of already alluded to this, that as you would open up and share yourself with people, you know, some people, uneducated, kind of slime balls would be what mm-hmm. I would say, will make the assumption, oh, cool, so that must make you a lesbian. What did that do for your own psyche and your own emotional well-being when those sort of things happened?
You know, I think that that's a lot of the root of the fear that comes from opening up, because I think that you don't know how anyone's going to react. And then when you have these bad experiences with these slimeball people, then it kind of is like, okay, now it's like asking the guy to dance out on the dance floor. And he says, no, the first guy says, no, you might not want to go dance, go ask the second guy to dance. Right. So I think that it kind of, it was building those walls around me about not opening up. And then I think that, you know, it's weighed out a little bit by the people that respond well, but it's not, those deeper moments kind of like sting more and they're harder to get over. And for some reason, we as humans kind of dwell on these negative things more than we dwell on the positive. So those were the things that, and the fear was what led me a lot of my life in how I responded to people, the fear of the rejection or the fear of being made fun of, or the fear of, you know, I sat there in college and listened to guys talk about fags and homos and all this all the time. But then you get one of those guys in a room by himself and he's really decent, but it's like, well, then why didn't you stand up? And so then you're confused. Like, well, do you think that that there's something wrong with being gay, or do you think that it's okay? Like, are you telling me that because you want to sleep with me? Or are you telling that because you're interested in me? Or are you really, you know, what's real here? So there's a lot of confusion about what to believe, what to think, and what to be scared of.
So I'm always curious when I speak in front of groups of people and this conversation kind of comes up, you know, they always ask us on the panel who have come out, have you ever experienced any kind of discrimination? You know, and I've been pretty blessed that in most of my life experience, no, I've been very blessed not to have, you know, been ever beaten up or, you know, had discrimination thrown in my face. Not in a huge way, little ways, but nothing that I go, oh yeah, it's front page news. But I'm curious, have you had any experiences where you felt like somebody was really like discriminating against you, putting you down because of who your dad is and his sexuality and his sexual orientation?
You know, it's funny because when you ask me that, I've never had the direct, like just your experience the same for me, like never had it directly come to me. But when you're sitting there and you know that somebody that you love is gay and there's people around you that are bashing that lifestyle or who those people are, I take it personally. Mm-hmm. Like I would sit there and go, oh my God, this person does not understand, or I don't agree with this person. So it felt like somebody was bashing me when they're, you know, commenting, making derogatory comments, especially HIV. You know, when I grew up, like I said, that was nothing was known about that. And so there was a lot of negative comments when I remember when Rock Hudson came out. And I mean, there's tons and tons of experiences that I had where I was sitting in a room, nobody knew that my dad was gay, and I had to listen to kind of what comes of conversations around HIV, around AIDS, around gay and lesbian community, you know, all that kind of stuff. So
And it's almost like it's a discrimination, but it's a silent discrimination because you hear the comments. And so then you have to sit there in your own world and go, okay, do I step up and do I be the advocate, so to speak? Do I stand my ground and draw that line in the sand? Or do I stay quiet and avoid the confrontation? And I know when I've had conversations around this with other people in the community, I'd say it depends on the scenario. And they're like, no, you need to always stand up. I'm like, no, that's what you would want to do. Mm-hmm. You're not me. You know, and I think this is the difference, is we all stand at those junctures. And, it, you know, take the gay and lesbian equation out of it, take the sexual orientation piece out of it. We all stand at junctures in our life where we will make a decision based on the environment, the situation, that somebody else standing in that same environment situation, they would have made a total different decision.
Right. And you know, you're not talking just about discrimination against the community.
Right.
You're talking about it becomes a political issue. It becomes a religious issue. I mean, there's way more, you know, like arms to the tentacle of this octopus that are out there that anyone realizes. I think when I've talked to people about my work, you know, when I work with adult children, I mean, sorry, adults of people that I can't even, sorry, adults who have a gay parent, should say, when I talk about that with people, you know, they just think it's a very straightforward thing. Like, oh, so what do? You help them to like be okay with that? Like, well, yes, but there's a lot more to it. There's a lot more to it.
It's not black and white.
How do you stand up? Yeah.
It's so not black and white. There's so much gray area, because I know as a parent myself, and watching my daughters navigate through this, and my daughters were pretty young. I mean, my oldest was only 4 years old. My youngest was 18 months old when this all came into our life. I've had to be very eyes wide open to so many different things. Everything from talking to teachers about it to, oh my gosh, what's going to happen when my kids want to have a sleepover? You know, I got to have that conversation with parents and, you know, that sort of stuff that, you know, it becomes a big conversation no matter which direction you look at it. So in your work and just to make it really, you know, really clear, the beautiful work that Suzanne is doing, it's very similar to the work I do with helping people come out, but she's helping the adult kids of gay and lesbian people really come into their truth around, you know, what it's like to be a child in that world with someone who is a parent who's come out to them. What is the most common thing you see or have seen in people that you work with? What's the most common obstacle or fear or challenge that they face with a gay parent?
You know, it really depends on the individual, but I think that a common theme that comes through is just not feeling super comfortable with who you are in relation to the things that go on around you. So if you have a gay parent, it's like, what part of them am I a reflection of? Like, because I look like my dad, does that mean that I also might have tendencies that are like that? Does that mean that I need to believe the things that he believes? I think also, when you're an adult with a gay parent, that, and I can speak for myself from this, but I have seen it in clients as well, is you've kept this secret your whole life, and I'm sure that this, you know, you can relate to this, but you've kept this secret your whole life, so keeping a secret is not that big of a deal. So it kind of goes beyond that too, you know, there's a little bit here or there, I don't want to hurt people, I don't want to like put myself in a situation where somebody might get angry or whatever. So it's like almost like this codependent behavior comes out in terms of protecting those around you by not being honest. Right. And that's probably the biggest thing, is that it kind of goes beyond just this secret and into other secrets. And so learning how to kind of speak your truth and be okay with who you are, and that I don't, you know, if I tell somebody that I did something that might upset them, that's their issue, not mine. And trying to work through those kinds of things is probably one of the biggest themes, is just that the kind of lying that gets thread through your life.
Absolutely. And this piece of keeping a secret is easy. I mean, when you said that, it was like, bingo, that is the easiest part of this whole equation.
Yeah.
That's the part that, wow, that comes pretty easy. And I, you know, me who kept a lot of secret around this for so many years and had a lot of extramarital affairs around this thing, that was the easy part. The hard part was coming clean. The hard part was facing the piper, so to speak, and going, okay, I don't know really what's going to happen. I have an inkling that, yeah, we won't be married any longer, and that I could potentially face, you know, what's going to be like with the kids and how are they going to react. Some of that I kind of knew, but I didn't really know. So that's really where the challenge shows up, is it's the beyond. And I know when I work with clients coming out of the closet, one of the things we often talk about is, okay, you know, it's kind of like, you're gay, now what? Or you come out, now what? Well, the same thing, I would venture a guess, feels the same for people on the other side of the fence. Now I have a gay spouse or a gay dad or, you know, a gay mom. The next thing is, okay, so now what? How do I do this? So in the now what phase, what is something that, you know, when you're working with clients or even in your own experience, how do you start to take the now what and begin to really step into it and thrive?
You know, it's all about building up who you are and really recognizing who you want to show up as, and then putting a plan in place to make that happen. And then once you start to actually, you know, dig deeper into what your values are and who you are and how you want to present yourself and what's important to you, you can start to speak your truth and actually, you know, talk about yourself the way that you want to and be okay with the parts of you that you may have hidden in the past. And kind of drawing the line in the sand and be able to express yourself more and be honest with everyone around you, but most importantly, to be honest with yourself.
You know, one of the things I've always felt about coming out, not only frees the person who's coming out if one of their values is integrity and truth and honesty, all that sort of stuff, it not only frees you to be in your integrity, your truth, and your honesty, but it also mirrors to others how to be in their integrity, their truth, and their honesty. And, you know, if those are core values of someone, then they're going to get put to the test, because you're going to suddenly become faced with this. You're going to become faced with, okay, I want to be really in integrity and I want to be honest with people. And I want to be truthful, but man, this thing about my spouse, my child, whomever, being gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, I don't know how I want to do this yet, but it's such a beautiful mirror in so many ways. And I often find that the people that get most upset about this coming out piece and what have you done to my life? You ruined my life. Okay. Yes, we get that. Let's go through that. Let's go through that fire pit. Let's walk those coals. But when you get to the other end of that, what is this really all about for you? It's about I'm holding up that mirror to you and saying, what in your life are you not being truthful, honest, and integrity about? Any of that ring true for you?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Totally. Do you know how incredibly difficult it is to have lies and to tell somebody that your dad's gay, but not somebody else and all these other people? So when you finally do come into integrity, and that is one of my values, a strong value is integrity. So when you can actually speak that truth and know who you want to be and know how you want it to present it, it's like you just hit a brick wall and like woke up. Right. It's like, woo, there I am. You know? This is who I really am. And you know what? If you don't like it, I don't care. And I think along the journey, that's kind of what you learn, what you just touched on with, you know, with the people that you help that come out of the closet, is they're on their own journey and I'm on my own journey. So I spend a lot of time blaming you for my journey, but you're not to blame. I'm to blame for what I've made my journey into. And I can change it anytime I want. And if I want to show up, you know, more authentically and more purposefully and speak my truth and talk about who I really am, not who I've pretended to be all these years, it's very liberating and freeing. And that's the place that I need to go.
Right.
It doesn't really have anything to do with my dad, you know, being gay. There's that kind of pushed me into some places, but me coming out of those places is up to me.
Yeah. You know, as I watched the Bruce Jenner interview about him coming out as a trans woman, I couldn't help but just get a really beautiful warmth in my heart when he said, it was pretty cool. God was sitting up there designing who I was going to be. And, you know, he's going to be a really cool guy. He's going to be an athlete. He's going to be really strong. He's going to do all these cool things. And okay, that looks good. And then God decided to go, but let's see what he can really do. And I thought, you know what? That's really what this journey is all about, is when that stuff shows up in our life, whether it's coming out as transgender or having a gay dad or going through a cancer scare or going through a divorce.
Yeah.
It's really that piece of, this is part of your journey. This is what you're meant to be doing. And this is what you're meant to go through. And I think so often we go and we hang our hat on, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going through this divorce. You know, why me? Well, the why me is, that's part of the journey. But the other piece of that is, why not you? Why not you? Why not embrace this and go, this is being handed to me for my own good. Don't really get it, but I'm going to just go step through it. And, you know, I'm saying this, and of course I'm going, okay, I didn't feel like that 2 days ago when such and such was happening to me. But, but I think it's because we are stepping into a much more conscious space of starting to really be mindful and look at these things in our life and go, why is this being given to me? What is the purpose behind all these different things? So I know you do a lot of this work. And before we wrap up, and we're going to wrap up here in the next minute or so, I wanted to give you the opportunity to talk about your work, your website, where people can find you, because I love that I now have a comrade that I can turn to and go, okay, I'm helping them through the closet from the person who's dealing with their sexual orientation. And then you can take hold of the kids, you know, adult or whatever, and walk them through another space. So give us a little bit of information about where people can find you, the kind of work you do, all that good stuff, Suzanne.
Thank you. So my website is coachsuzy.com. That's C-O-A-C-H-S-U-Z-Y. And I have a page on there where you can apply for a complimentary kind of strategy discovery session on kind of where you've ended up and where you want to be and how we can get you there. So definitely there's a form in there you can fill out. Let me know if it's better to get a hold of you by phone or by email, and I can get back to you and we can chat about how to move you into a space where you feel comfortable with who you are and speaking your truth.
You know, I love that you keep bringing this piece up about being comfortable with who you are, because at the end of the day, at the end of the conversation, at the end of life, that should be the biggest thing that we all strive for, is to be truly comfortable in who we are. It's just such a big piece of the puzzle. So one last question that I always ask at the end of every podcast is, you know, people are coming out a lot of different things, whether it be parent coming out of a divorce, coming through a cancer scare, whatever it may be. If you could give somebody one piece of advice, and maybe, you know, some of the people who are listening, as far as coming out and really being who you are as a child of a gay man, what would be that one piece of advice you'd love to leave the listeners with?
You know, there's so many things that come to mind when you ask that. But the thing I think that is the overarching thing for everybody to know is you have a choice about how you present yourself. And a lot of the time we go through life on autopilot and we just kind of do what we've done and we just keep doing what we've done before because we've done it before. But you know what? You can stop today and you can think about how you want to show up tomorrow. And you can change those patterns because you don't have to be who you were yesterday. You know, each moment gives us the opportunity to be who we want to be. So I think, and along with that, I think the biggest part of that is listen to the inner voice, but take the time to listen to the inner voice, because I think we all have that inner voice. You know, I really should speak up in this moment, or I really just right now I shouldn't say anything. And it's like, if you do the opposite of that, it never feels good. So figure out how to get in touch with that little voice inside of you and really listen, because that really is your guiding voice, is what I call that. And I think that's a really important piece of advice that I would give. It definitely changed my life.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I always say we all have a big diva inside of us just waiting to kick our way out and really slap us in the face to tell us what we should be doing. And oftentimes we don't listen to it. So that's so cool. Well, thanks so much, Suzanne, for being here on the show with me today. I really appreciate it. I love your perspective and I love the work that you're doing to help others really come into who they are, which is so key. It is about who they are. So thanks again for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
Absolutely. And if you've really enjoyed what you've heard today and you are struggling yourself, maybe with trying to find your way through this journey of having a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender parent, or maybe you know somebody who is, or maybe your own parents or spouses or whomever is really struggling, make sure you check out Suzanne's website. That's CoachSusie.com, and it'll be up on the show page too. But if you really enjoyed what you heard today, go ahead and just hop over, if you would, and give us some love on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud. We always appreciate a great rating and review, but only if it's truly in alignment with who you are. And while you're at it, hop into my Facebook group, The Coming Out Coach. Give me some kudos there. Drop a line. Tell us what you're thinking, what you like, what you didn't like. And of course, if you're one of those birdie people who loves to tweet, go ahead and tweet us out at rickclemens.com. Give us some love with the hashtag Coming Out Lounge. And with that, we're going to wrap it up for another episode of the Coming Out Lounge. And don't forget, we're going to encourage you to go out there and never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your powerful truth. Until next time, I'm Coming Out Coach Rick, and I love having you around. Catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today with the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemens. Make sure you tune in with us next week, same time, same place, for the Coming Out Lounge.